This week on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Season 3, Episode 11 of TMNT Classic, April Fool. I'm King Cowabunga.
And I'm Pizza Tossin' Gub.
And you're listening to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Episode 29. Episode 29 now.
We're back.
I would say we're back, but...
No. We need the consistency. We got to say we're back every episode.
But we recorded the other one recently.
I know. We're back.
We're back. All right, fine. We're back. I don't think we were gone that long. It depends when I put them up.
Yeah.
We're back.
Listeners know we're back.
We're back. So if you're new to the show, I feel like I have to do this now.
Yeah.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast is a podcast where we go through all the old Turtle episodes and... kind of review them and talk about them since we're adults now.
Yes. We go through the classic series in order.
Uh-huh.
And we're like the Cliff Notes.
That's right. You want to use that as a motto? I don't think Cliff Notes even – do they even exist anymore?
I don't know if kids today even know what Cliff Notes are. They have Wikipedia.
What am Cliff Notes? That's right. They just have Wikipedia.
It's like a Wikipedia.
We're dating ourselves.
Yeah.
Cliff Notes. we're gonna start.
I met someone who didn't know what TRL was.
Wow.
And I was like, oh.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you the dumbest thing I can think of. Did I mention this to you? I've said this to so many people, it blew my mind. There's this guy I work with. Graduated from high school, and I mentioned World War II, and he didn't know that the Japanese were in World War II.
Okay.
And I said to him, can you name the countries that fought in World War II, excluding America and Germany? And he couldn't do it. And he got really embarrassed. And I said, and you graduated high school.
Sad.
Well, that's freaking sad.
Well, like, kids today don't know why a phone ring sounds the way it rings. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like a phone.
Yeah.
Like a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Has like a ring on it. You know, like not necessarily a song, like an actual phone ring.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
They don't understand why it sounds like that. They have no context for it.
Well, it's kind of like, you ever notice when you go into Photoshop, they have all these tools.
Yeah.
That have specific names.
Yeah, like the I don't know why the burn tool looks like that.
No, but do you know? Yeah. See, I was gonna say the burn tool is a good example. That's because when you're in the dark room.
Yeah, you actually have to use a tool that looks like that.
Well, no, I don't think it's a tool. I think it's how long you expose the photo for.
Right.
Will create a certain effect.
Right.
So that's what the term is for. It's also like, you know, when you save things and there's a floppy disk.
Yeah, the floppy disk is the best. Because like
that?
No one uses that shit anywhere.
What in floppy disk? It's the A drive. What's the A drive?
Yeah.
Funny. But anyway, this episode, April Fool's.
April Fool. So April Fool.
Whatever it is. April Fool, April Fool's, I don't know.
April's Fool. It varies on the internet.
So I said this last episode. I'm going to go into the story about this episode. All right, so when I remember this, I've never seen this episode, and what's funny is I remember it because when I was a kid, I had this cousin who was just a degenerate. It's the best word I'm going to use to describe him. He was, you know, he was that kid. He was the bad kid in the neighborhood.
Can we name him?
No, I'm not going to name him.
No, not his real name. Let's call, give him a fake name.
Give him a, I don't know.
Cousin Vinny.
It's not that far off. He's my freaking cousin Vinny. So one day, I'm at his place. I hated going to his house. My mother occasionally would drop me off at my aunt's place, and he would always treat me like crap. He would treat everybody, you know. He was the kid that would bully kids smaller than him, kind of kid.
Right.
You're 5 and I'm 12, so I'm going to put you in this jar and push you down a hill. Like, that's the kind of kid he was.
Yeah.
So anyway, what he does is he's bored, and he goes into his house and he finds a Ninja Turtle video cassette tape. And the episode is April Fool. And he puts an M80 inside of it. He cracks it open. He shoves an M80 in it. Then he lights it. And we all have to run because the thing's going to explode and shoot plastic everywhere.
Yeah, the shrapnel alone will...
You're a lot of shrapnel.
Yeah.
So it blows up, and sure enough, you know, this stuff goes everywhere. And he blew it up on the block. He didn't blow up in his backyard, you know, on the block somewhere.
Yeah.
And then he would always go, oh, April Fool's! And he thought it was so funny. And then I actually kind of forgot that memory until I saw the name of the episode.
You'd never actually seen that episode.
No, and I wanted to watch it that day, actually. Because when he took out the cassette tape, I remember going, I want to watch that. You know, I'm going to blow it up.
That kid is totally, like, in jail right now, right?
He's a drug dealer.
Oh, of course.
I'm not kidding. That's actually what he does. He's a drug
dealer. His career path.
His career path is drug dealer. That's what he is. Nobody was surprised by that. I'll give you another story about him. So I remember one day, this is really funny. We're outside of the school, right? And his sister is there with him. And he got in trouble for – no. He's there with his family. I guess they're coming to pick him up from school. And he has a slingshot. And he thinks it's a really good idea in front of everybody getting out of school, teachers, every kid is there, everybody. The whole school just got out. To use his slingshot to break one of the headlights on the bus. So yep. He just pulls it back and shoots it and breaks it in front of everybody. And he tries to do it, like, slick, which is the funniest part. He does it low and puts it low and he just kind of does it. He puts a rock in there and he breaks it. And then, of course, everybody starts yelling at him. And then his sister defends him. No, he didn't do anything. He clearly did it.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of kid he was. And then it was funny because I remember even thinking to myself, if you're going to do that, do it when there's nobody around. Like, why would you do it when everybody...
Even as, like, a six-year-old, you had better
even as a six-year-old,
criminal sense than he did.
Yeah, that's dumb. If you're going to do it when nobody's around. Yeah, and he's a drug dealer now, you know? That's what he does. I don't really talk to him. I try not to associate with him. Whenever I see him at family functions every once in a blue moon, he's not a hard guy to talk to. He doesn't do anything stupid in public when I'm around. He's not, you know, he's not going to get really drunk and punch somebody. You know, he's just, you can just tell. He's a shady guy.
So anyway.
Anyway.
This episode.
So start the episode off.
So the episode starts with us learning that the emperor from Malakirion, is coming over, is made a deal to sell mining rights to a thing called Lydium 90, which is...
Of course. It's better than Lydium 89.
Yeah.
It's the best one. It's Lydium 90.
They might as well call it Lydium X.
Lydium. It should be called Hyper X.
Hyper Lydium. Hyper Lydium X.
It's like hypergravity.
But apparently it's harder than diamond and more beautiful than gold.
That's subjective.
It's the quote that April gives about the thing.
Yes. Now, I will say this about this episode. Have you noticed how the animation quality is all over the place?
Yes. It's terrible.
There are a few scenes in this.
There are a few scenes that are awesome, but there are more scenes that are terrible. Also, characters are cropped in weird ways. Did you notice that? Like, it'll be like no dude's head. You're like, why did you – you couldn't pan up like a little bit more?
What I noticed right away was there was this one scene where April – like when she's interviewing the writing the news story on this, the animation is awful. It just looks terrible. And then Irma convinces April to get a makeover.
Yeah.
To go to this party.
Yeah, and a gown.
A gown, yeah. So she gets a makeover, and of course, you know, April goes, well, we're going to get a makeover. She goes, well, you get a new look, you get a new man.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Irma doesn't even have an old man, so a new man.
Except for, what's his name? Alfredo.
She dumped him.
She dumped Alfredo.
She doesn't like Italians. So anyway,
the animation quality you were saying?
Yeah, so anyway, April gets a new look. And then it cuts to the turtles eating pizza. No, eats them eating sushi with Splinter. Yes. I really like the way that scene is animated. I like the way they're drawn, and their expressions are really cute. And it's very cartoony. It looks good.
I find when the turtles are on screen, they're rounder.
Yeah.
The lines are thicker.
Yeah, it's like, way more cartoony.
Way more cartoony. Like, they react. Like, they actually have squash and stretch when they react.
I was going to say squash and stretch when they react. Yeah, there's a much higher level.
Right.
Even Rocksteady and Bebop, too.
Yeah. Well, before we go to the turtles, Krang sees the report and says he needs the lithium 90 to power the technodrome to get out of the Earth. That's the plan.
Yeah, and Shredder sitting on a throne while Bebop and Rocksteady are waving metal fans
at him.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is, didn't they have their own air conditioning company? What happened to that?
Yeah,
remember K&S?
SNK, K&S. Yeah, what are they waving? It's just like weird, like metal mirrors on sticks.
Why couldn't they just give them fans?
It's weird. I did some research on this episode because I wanted to know why the animation looked so weird. It's the first episode that's animated by a company, by the studio that makes it. It's animated by their Berlin studio, not their U.S. studio, or not the Korea studio that might have made it. So that explains why this is more animated, I guess.
Well, I looked at it from this perspective. There's, 40-something episodes in this season?
Yeah, you gotta outsource everything.
You gotta outsource, yeah. You can't get it all done in-house.
So then we cut to the turtles, and the turtles are in the sewer. And Splinter offers them sushi, and they go, no, why don't you have some pizza? Some marshmallow pepperoni pizza. Which, yeah. I don't know if that's already on the list. That might be on the list already.
It's on the list, yeah. I think on our pizza list, pizzas you would eat or not eat.
Oh, yeah, new listeners. New listeners, we have a list of every pizza that they've eaten so far this season.
You mean you. I'm not going to keep
me. Yeah, I have.
I have no list.
Compiled a list of everything they've eaten. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the series, we're going to know what the best pizza they've eaten. Because they eat a lot of weird pizzas. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your rating of marshmallows and pepperoni?
It's 5. 6.
5?
Oh, it could be interesting, but I certainly wouldn't want it.
I don't think it's that bad.
I don't know.
I feel like I'm leaning towards a 7.
All right.
And I'm giving you a shot.
You're gonna give it a shot.
Well, you still have to eat. You've sworn to eat
Cocoa Puffs,
and peanut butter and pickles. You both.
Oh, I'll do it.
Maybe when I'm over there. Well,
when you're over here, yeah, we'll do it.
No, you gotta come over here because we got good pizza here.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway,
keep going.
Marshmallows and pepperoni is the pizza they're eating. They're very animated. Like,
yes, yes.
Their eyes are way more expressive than usual.
I actually like the way Splinter looks as well.
Yeah.
And then
they're slightly off model, but then they're not really.
Yeah. And then April appears in a gown, and now the turtles, you know, whoa, April, you look like a girl.
Yeah.
Oh, can I do something for you? Oh, do you need anything? You're so smart. You're
scared. They like fall over their feet for her. Yeah. They're like when she leaves, they all try to cram through the door behind her, but then they all crash the door together.
That scene, actually.
It's great.
It's hilarious. Ladies, this is how men act, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, men are dumb. Men are animals, and we're dumb.
I don't want to go that far. We just know what we like.
Yeah, whatever.
Our brain, you know.
It's lizard brain.
Look, you know, they're teenagers, isn't it fair to say?
Well, I guess they're supposed to be teenagers, but they never really...
They don't look like teenagers. They don't look like teenage turtles. They look like adult turtles.
But yeah, after April leaves, we cut to the prince and his... what's his name? Emperor and his princess and his daughter, the princess, who...
April.
Well, we only see her from the back, right?
Yep.
And we know the joke is coming that she's going to look exactly like April.
Yep.
And she turns and she looks exactly like April.
Yep.
He also reveals that it's a costume party that they're going to.
Conveniently, so the turtles can get in.
The writing in this episode is a little, there's a lot of stuff going on and they managed to, like, juggle it pretty nicely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But they also do a lot of things where, like, they write in easy solutions to problems. Like, don't worry, that's nothing. Don't worry, that's nothing.
Yeah, I've noticed there are definitely scenes where you could just tell.
Like the end?
The end, there's a scene in the middle where you could just see they have to move the plot forward. There's no time.
Yeah. So April goes to the party and then realizes it's a costume party and isn't in costume. And as she leaves, the guards confront her and think she's the princess. And she goes with it in order to get a better story.
Right. And the princess runs away.
Jumps out of the window.
She sneaks out like every princess would. And then she wants to explore New York.
Well, before she does that, Shredder... Bebop and Rocksteady show up and they hide they just push the drill back into the ground and hide it.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
And then they walk in and everyone thinks, oh, it's a costume party, so they can just come right in.
Yep.
So they get right in.
Yep.
And which is weird because, like, later on they're asking everyone for their invites and everything, but there's never any guards doing anything in this.
Yes, it's hilarious.
Like, there are guards in the front of, like, the princess's room when April goes in, but when Shredder goes in later, there's no guards there at all.
Yeah. It's pretty funny, actually.
So April's in the room, and she decides to dress up as the princess to get an even better scoop.
Mm-hmm.
Which, whatever, that's fine. Shredder, Bebop, Rocksteady break in, find her, think she's the princess, and kidnap her.
I love how Shredder knocks her out. He just grabs her shoulder.
He grabs her shoulder. That? Yeah, I wrote that down.
Grabs her shoulder. Ah, she passes out. The shoulder grab.
But the turtles go to, like, keep an eye on her at the party.
Well, because they're super into her now.
And they're like hanging out in a bush on the side, and
which is, we've all done it. Come on, guys.
And you Donatello's know? Reaction, like, his animation is so good.
Yes.
He's like, he's like, bugs out a little bit.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah, it's stretches. Great.
His eyes grow really, really wide, like wider than any other scene from the show. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's good.
I really like this episode. Parts of it.
The way April looks is pretty terrible. I feel like the way the human characters look, except for maybe Shredder, is bad.
Yeah, but the turtles are great.
Turtles look great in most of their scenes. Some of their scenes, they look awful.
There's also, like the
it's
other
a very hit or miss episode with the animation.
The other episodes, I feel like the lines were inked, and these lines are clearly pencils.
Oh, yeah, it looks like pencils to me.
Which I don't know why they would do that, but.
Speed?
I guess, but I mean.
I get the impression it was just production thing. You know, we got to get this done. So just make them tight pencils.
But the turtles are on the phone, on the TurtleCom with April when she gets kidnapped, and they go in to investigate, and Mikey smells pizza, so he wants to go in.
Yep.
But Mikey also freaks out when he smells this pizza. Like, the animation is so
freaked out. Yeah, his eyes get big. Whoa! Yeah. He's got a little squash and stretch going on there.
Yeah. But then they break into the window, and no one bats an eye.
That's right.
I found that really weird.
Yes, it is.
Like, because they knew it was a costume party.
Yep.
But they don't go into the front door. Like, they could have just gone in the front door.
Because I think they just want to move the scene along.
It's also a fake Batman. Did you notice the fake Batman?
Yeah, I noticed the fake Batman.
I like the fake Batman. He's great. With one little bent ear.
You got that moment, of course, coming up where somebody wants to dance at one of the turtles.
Yeah, that happens.
I'm in this costume. You know what's funny is when she forced this one girl makes Raphael dance with her. You notice how after she spins him, he becomes 5 feet tall?
Yeah.
Or, like, be tall.
Yeah.
It's like suddenly he's incredibly tiny.
Yeah.
And everybody else is huge.
Yeah, there's a lot of sillier moments in this episode, animation wise and with the writing.
There's a scene that made me laugh so hard.
Where they shoot the guard?
Yes! I knew how you knew what it was.
So let's set this scene. The Shredder, Rocky, and Bebop.
To me, Rocky! That's the last episode.
Shredder, Rocksteady, and Bebop have April as the princess. They think she's the princess, and they're running away to the basement to get out.
Yep.
As they run to the elevator, this guard shows up and goes, "Hey, what are you doing with the princess?" And Shredder goes, "Rocksteady, shoot him." And he just shoots him with a laser.
No, that's not what happens. Rocksteady goes, "Dah, we don't have time for this." And he just kills him. Which the writer's going, "We gotta move the plot. We don't have time for this scene." You have to have the scene where a guard confronts them, but you can't waste time of them fighting him and all this stuff, so they just kill him instantly.
This is the most proactive Rocksteady's been to, like, complete a plot.
Yeah,
Rocksteady complete a plan. Like, he's like, fuck it, we gotta get through this.
You gotta get through this move.
And then the Emperor goes back into the princess's castle.
Did you notice how funny it is when that guy gets shot, too, the way he yells?
Yes. I love that scene, because he just, like, shows up at the elevator, he's like, oh shit, what are you guys doing? And he gets shot. he kind of looks like Carl Winslow.
Yes. You know, I would say Rocksteady is a typical street thug in this moment.
Yes.
Street thug. You're in my way. I'm going to shoot you. I don't have time for this.
I don't have time for this shit. So the Emperor finds the note that Shredder left, because Shredder's going to ransom the princess for the Lydium. Lydium 90.
Yep.
And when he finds a note, he shuts down all the exits so no one can leave.
Yep.
He also finds the broken turtle comm that he had stepped on earlier.
That's right.
Which is just so, like, that's just such a convenient – because they don't want him to use it.
That's right.
So writing wise, like, just step on it. It's fine. He won't be using it.
That's a good solution, actually.
It is a good solution because he doesn't know it's there.
Simple.
The first thing he does is run to the window because he sees the note, and then he accidentally steps on a thing. I've done that. No, I haven't.
We've all done it.
You know, we've all been there.
Come on, guys.
Your daughter gets stolen.
When your daughter gets kidnapped by a rhino and a pig. A warthog, I'm sorry.
A warthog.
A random note. Did you see the new Turtles movie?
No. Have you?
No.
I kind of want to.
A friend of mine saw it and he hated it.
I kind of want to see it. Have you ever been to a movie and, like, the movie ended and the crowd, someone in the crowd just yells boo?
Once or twice.
I've never been to that, and I kind of wanted. I always wanted to do that.
Oh, you know what? I saw Alien vs. Predator 2.
Oh, wait.
And these kids yelled out. These teenagers, they thought it would be funny. They yelled out boo, and my buddy just flipped out on uncalled for. It was funny. You know who it is.
I'm sure I could figure it out.
It's not somebody you know that well, but he.
I went to see the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie.
Okay.
The first one.
Did they just make another one? Oh, the first one.
The first one, like, years ago. And yeah. When it ended, I was like, pretty loudly, I was like, well, that sucked.
You know, thank you. I did not like that
movie. The movie's terrible.
Yes, I thought it was bad when it came out. And then everybody would say to me, oh, it was great. It was great. And then I just said, no, it was bad.
It's terrible. It's an awful movie. So I got to argue with my friend yesterday about it.
Are you turning into me? Is
that? I hate that movie. That movie makes me so mad.
I'm just saying that I've had so many arguments with people about movies I don't like. I'll just go, that movie sucked, and then everybody will get mad at you for saying it.
Anyway,
you got to argue with your friend. That was a great movie. It was amazing. My biggest criticism with that movie was the villain is terrible.
Okay.
That was one of my biggest. Go ahead. This week on Star Trek Cast.
My issue with the movie is the villain has more motivation to do anything than anyone else in that movie.
Yes, and that's sad because he's a dumb villain.
Well, Starfleet destroyed his entire race, right? Yes. So he's like, I went back in time to kill Starfleet to prevent them from destroying my race.
Yes, but he's such a lame villain.
He's lame. He's lame as shit.
It's like if a janitor got a spaceship and
he's but like still,
a,
like.
A minor
like,
or something like, lame.
Still, Kirk doesn't want to do any. Doesn't need to do anything in that movie. Kirk's like bland as shit.
It's been way too long for me to remember. I saw it when it came out.
I saw it when it came out too. It made me really mad. But anyway.
Wait, are you talking about this? You're talking about this was when you saw it when it came out. You said you rewatched it, right?
No, when I watched it in theaters, I only watched it once because I hated it so much.
Oh, so you're talking about when you saw it when it came out?
Then. Yeah, I saw it when it came out.
This is right when it came out. You were saying that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I don't remember.
When it ended, I was like in the theater really loudly, like, well, that sucked.
And I was also the guy that didn't like The Incredibles, and everybody hated me for that, too.
Well, The Incredibles is great. You're an idiot.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny, actually? I feel like I need to rewatch it.
It's great. You're an idiot.
Things that I'm looking back on the things that bothered me about it, and I'm thinking, I don't think those things would bother me now.
It's like, the best. It's my favorite Pixar movie.
Honestly, I don't remember it well enough to have an opinion on it. I just remember the only thing was I really disliked the ending.
Yeah.
I didn't like the message that really.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah, the special snowflake thing.
Yeah, I was like, oh well, you have special powers, and that's not fair to other people. So you need to get rid of them. You need to pretend you don't have them.
Yeah,
that really pissed me off. And that would be my criticism of the movie, but that doesn't make the movie bad.
No.
You know, just because I don't like the message doesn't mean it's a bad movie. You know, and there was like lots of little. I know things that would annoy me too, which now I actually like. But at the time, bugged me. Was how everybody's like personality was based on their powers.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, that really bothered me. Like, oh, it's so
now you love that shit.
I love that shit now. But when I was younger, oh god, it's so obvious. Like it annoyed me. Oh, it should be more sophisticated and complex.
Yeah.
It should be so surface. You know. Now I'm going. It's simple. It's a kids' movie. Yeah. It works.
It's great.
Johnny Storm is on fire. He's a hothead. It works. We don't need to complicate it.
And that was movie talk.
That was movie cast.
Movie talk. We should have like a jingle for these. No, we should.
We're going tangents.
Yeah, we're going tangents. We should have jingles. We go on tangents too long. Like, we should have like a little break. He goes like, fast forward to a minute if you don't want to hear this.
And the episode would take even longer to edit. We just need a soundboard. We need something. You push a button.
We do need a soundboard. I'm gonna look into this because I really want to drop stuff in here.
Yeah, it'd be easy. You just push a button and then.
Yeah, if there's like, we have an alarm when we go on tangents.
Yeah, we just push it. Tangent, tangent. Warning.
Alarm, tangent alarm.
Warning, going off topic. Completely off topic.
So anyway, the turtles are at the party.
Yep.
And the emperor busts in and says, everyone take off your masks and show your invitations. Because someone stole the princess.
Somebody stole my daughter again. I'm looking at you, guards.
The turtles are like, oh no, what are we going to do? Because we don't have masks or invitations.
Everybody saw this scene coming a mile away.
Yeah. And then they take off their masks and they look fucking weird. They
take off their ninja like masks.
Yeah, the ninja masks. And they look like...
Yeah, they look weird.
So weird.
But it is what they would look like without it. It's just weird.
But then the emperor is like, you guys are giant turtles. And he picks up the communicator. He's like, turtle communicator, you guys must have stole the princess. Which,
that does work.
That's, yeah, solid. That's solid writing.
That's pretty solid. He finds
it. For a kid, for like a shitty 90s kids cartoon.
He connects. It's not a shitty cartoon. No, it's not a I'm not going to think too hard about that one.
So they basically like distract the guards, like tie them up in curtains and like jump over them and... It's like exit stage left, and then they barricade the door with a giant pole they find.
They should have said it's curtains for you.
Yeah, they should have.
That would have made it perfect.
And then we see the princess walking to New York in my favorite scene.
Yeah, I love this scene.
Where she meets the Jamaican steel drum band.
She doesn't even interact with them.
No, she walks and she goes, oh, interesting. And then she sees a news report and then walks away. Oh, no, they get the cab and runs away.
Yeah. I also like how when that cab appears, the news report basically says she's been kidnapped. So she realizes she has to go back home. And when she calls the cab, it just comes into the shot, and you can see there's no animation at all.
No, no.
Driver doesn't move. He doesn't even speak. He's just a still image.
The thing I love about this scene is, like, someone spent hours designing those characters, the Jamaican steel drum band. Like, they're so specifically people.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, I was going to say it's people in the staff, but it's like a Dublin crew, so I don't know if that's accurate.
I've told people that all the time, where if you ever look at big crowds in animation or comics or anything, look closely at the crowd, because there's usually one or two people in there that are based on people that,
friends or coworkers. If there's a large crowd in any comic, you should look for Waldo, because he's probably in that crowd.
Seriously?
Yeah, people draw Waldo in crowds a lot.
I didn't know that.
Also, there's people will draw, like, in Marvel comic crowds, people will draw Superman.
Really?
Yeah, oh, they'll get away with it because no one will know. And the colorist will, like, color it as Superman, too.
I showed you that one thing in a crowd scene.
What? Which one?
I almost don't want to say because I don't want to get the artist in trouble. But he slipped in something that was certainly very adult. In a scene.
Send me a message on Skype, funny.
I'll send you a Skype message.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't want to talk about it on the show because then I don't want to possibly, even though it happened like probably almost 10 years ago now. But he got away with it scot-free. And I'm thinking about, man, if this got out at the time, he probably could have gotten in trouble.
Yeah, man. That cab driver is awesomely designed too.
He looks like he hates his life, like all cabs.
He does. He doesn't even look at her. He's like, get in. He also gets in and doesn't say anything. And then she becomes a still drawing, and then the car just...
He's almost a robot, you know? He's just going through the motions. I kind of wish we had robotic cabs, like in Total Recall.
Oh, yeah.
Great. You know,
what's the guy's name? What's the cab driver's name in Total Recall?
Johnny Cab?
Johnny Cab?
I think it's Johnny Cab. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. This week on Total Recall Cast. This week on Alfcast.
You're right, Johnny Cab.
Johnny Cab. Well, I did watch it recently, so...
Great. Fantastic.
Great movie.
I always wondered, like, that movie, this is another tangent, they remade that movie, right? They remade that movie recently, right?
Yeah.
Fairly recently.
Yeah. I didn't even get through it. I watched the first 10 minutes.
I wasn't going to bother. But it's awful. My question is the three-boobed lady in it?
I don't know. I'm assuming she is, though.
Yeah, that's the thing, it's like a very famous scene of the movie.
Everybody talked about it.
Yeah.
That was a big thing at the time. Arnold is at his peak obnoxiousness in that movie.
That movie's great.
That movie, that part when he kills his wife, consider that the divorce.
Consider the divorce.
She tried to kill him, though. He's defending himself.
So, yeah.
This is the last tangent I'm going to say. I think Total Recall knocked off of Space Adventure Cobra.
Yes.
Because Cobra came out way before that movie, and it came out before the book, too. I think.
Cobra is a lighthearted... Total Recall.
But the plot, yeah, exactly.
Well, Total Recall is based on a book, too.
Well, let's see when the book came out, then. Because I think Space Adventure Cobra came out before the book was written as well. You can hear the typing.
Space Adventure. Well, I mean, it's also like a thing where.
No, I am wrong. 1966 is when the book came out.
Cobra was 78.
Uh-oh. Fine. Okay, so Cobra ripped off of the book then.
That being said, I kind of like Cobra more than I like Totoro.
That's a tough one. I love Space Adventure Cobra. I've been very into it lately for the past
week. I just like it's lighthearted and silly.
You can tell on my Facebook. You know exactly what I'm into that week on my Facebook. Because I just post up all this stuff.
I like the bad guy's name is Crystal Boy.
Crystal Boy. He's clearly a man. He's clearly a man. He's not a boy at all.
I believe he's supposed to be a parody of David Bowie. In a way. Not like in name. In name and like kind of like not how he looks, but like his kind of he's a crystal space guy.
I love
Bowie-ish.
It needs to be remade. I mean, they made an OVA in 2013, I think.
That's a comic series I want to get all of.
It's not that hard. It's not that much of it.
No, but there's also like the English translations are like in weird.
I think floppy. Marvel Wolfman.
Yeah, they're like weird floppy editions, and they're hard to find all of them. You never find the right.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I haven't done real research on it. Anyway,
I've done make-believe research. I don't have time to Google it.
So anyway, as the princess gets in her cab to go back home, we cut to the elevator basement door,
mm-hmm.
which just explodes.
Yeah,
which is this is the thing I noticed this episode also. The explosions are more like stock explosions from animation.
Yep.
Where like you know if you ever watch like Johnny Quest, all the explosions are exactly the same because it's the same stock animation explosion over and over again.
Yes.
Like Hanna-Barbera cartoons all use the same stock animation footage.
I'm trying very hard not to talk about Johnny Quest right now, which I would also like to talk about. I'm going to hold it back. I
fucking love Johnny Quest.
Love it!
Love it. Anyway. So, Shredder finds out that the princess is really April, but he realizes that the Emperor still doesn't know this, so he's going to use it to his advantage.
To get Hyperlithium.
To get the Hyperlithium X90. The PX90.
Hyperlithium X90.
He wants to go to the gym to get the PX90 and.
I don't know. He's looking pretty good. His guns are looking good.
but then April just runs away.
Yep.
And knocks over trash cans, and BF Rocksteady are like confounded and cannot follow.
What can they do?
And the Toros are being chased in this crazy mansion by the guards. Yes. It's not as wacky as the football scene last episode.
That was the Rocky to me. I almost want to make a shirt of that. Just Krang catching a crystal. Rocky to me.
It's like such a deep cut.
He's got to be wearing a helmet inside of his suit, like a football helmet inside the suit.
He's wearing a helmet, but the guy, the big machine, is wearing the leather one.
The old school one. Yes, that'd be great.
How great is it that was an actual helmet? Like this strap of leather on your head. Like, don't worry, it'll stop your concussions from happening.
Well, it's better than nothing, but not really.
Not really.
It's kind of like, all right, we're gonna put you in a shirt. It's better than being shirtless.
This reminds me. When I was when I was growing up, I watched Saturday morning cartoons, and you used to have like, you know how between commercial breaks, you would have like little vignette things that they would shoot for like Kids WB or something.
We'll be right back. Yep.
Well, not even that stuff. There was one that they were talking about. Like, they were like, here's Jason. Jason likes to do BMX biking. And they would show Jason doing BMX biking. And it was just like a random thing that happened. And they were like – and there was like a wacky voiceover guy that was like, Jason, what kind of gear do you wear? And he goes, I wear my helmet. I wear my elbow pads, my gloves, knee pads, my chest plate, and pants.
He's got pants. Got you.
The only thing that made me think was like, so if he's not – on BMX, he just doesn't wear pants. Like, this is a rare occurrence for him wearing pants today because he's on BMX biking.
Wait, so he says he wears his helmet and his elbow pads. Okay, so he's saying he wears pants. It's implied that that's an additional thing.
Yes.
So is it safe to assume he has no shirt on, no underwear, no socks?
Well, because he points out all the weird accoutrement you wear, like the helmet, you know, the weird gloves, the elbow pads, the chest pad, and he just says pants.
And pants. And so that pants. Means he's shirtless, shoeless, sockless, and no underwear. Right. He's got on
just
a helmet.
Just name everything.
It's just implied you wear clothes. We know. You don't have to.
So anyway, the guards confront the turtles. And then the actual princess shows up. Yeah. And they realize she looks exactly like April, and they realize she's the real princess, and that April's somewhere in the mansion.
You know what? I just thought to myself, too, there was no time for it in the episode, but I probably would have wrote in that she doesn't even have money. She doesn't even know how to pay the cabbie. Like, that classic cliche of royalty.
Yeah.
What, our money? What is this? They don't know what things cost.
Well, there's a scene where April is running through the mansion, and she comes to two doors and she picks one, and then Splinter's there and he goes, "Should have picked door number two." Which is so great. And then she slams the door on him and opens the other door, and it's Rock City Bebop.
Rocky to me. That's gonna be in my head for at least a day now.
That should be your ringtone.
Rocky to me. Why does it ring? Because you used to use a bell.
So then the emperor guy, is he an emperor? He's the emperor. He's on the roof and he says he has the
good.
He has the Lydium 90X hyper stone.
Your journey to the Lydium 90X will be complete.
And a helicopter.
Of course, helicopter.
And so they all pile in. Mm-hmm. So they get and he doesn't give up the princess yet.
Nope.
Because he's going to still use it as a bargaining chip.
Yep. And there was also a scene where Krang was supposed to get the thing and he screwed it up.
No, that's later.
That's later, you're right.
That's later when they're on the helicopter. Mm-hmm. Like and then the turtles jump on to hang on for dear life to try and take him down.
Yep.
And they float by a building and Donatello goes, "Look, it's the turtle blimp. I parked it there for just such an occasion."
You never know.
Like fucking
if only Dippy the dinosaur was there as well.
Dippy was there. Fucking Dippy. Krang. Dippy the Diplodocus.
Diplodocus.
So, Shredder calls Krang and tells him to send one of those drill things to the art museum, to the outside of the art museum, because that's where he's landing.
Yep.
And he lands and he waits for it, but it's not there.
Yep.
It ends up going into the museum.
Yeah.
They have a crazy fight scene in the museum.
No, and then when it doesn't go there, he goes, "Krang! You idiot, you were supposed to go here. Well, sue me."
Because remember, you know, back in the 90s, you could just sue anybody for anything. Kind of like today. But I think it just started in the 90s, you know?
I remember that was the thing when I was a kid. You started realizing that people could sue people.
Yeah.
It was just something you could do all of a sudden. "Oh, I don't like your shirt. I'm going to sue you." You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, so there's a scene inside the art museum as the drill thing is arriving, and there's a big hand statue.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a pretty good gag. When Shredder finds out that the drill is inside, they run in and they see the big hand statue and it's pointing down at a hole. It's like, oh, that's where it is. That's where the drill is.
We all know where it's going.
Pretty good gag.
It's not bad. It's pretty good.
And the turtles find that weird turtle statue that they love.
Yep.
That's a cool background though.
It is cool.
It's a really cool background. And that's a cool statue thing. But then April yells and they find him.
Some guy in Belgium got paid, you know. Whatever.
Belgium?
Currency.
Dublin.
Dublin. Oh, it was Dublin. I'm sorry. I thought you said Belgium.
I said Dublin.
I'm from Dublin. Yes. Why were there so many animation studios in Ireland at this time?
I don't know. It had to be cheap. It had to be just cheap.
Because Don Bluth, his whole studio got moved to Ireland.
But did it?
At some point. Yeah. There was like this whole point in the 90s, I think, where Don Bluth was in Ireland. Must have been – I understand why it is now because Ireland it goes, "Oh, corporate taxes. We don't have those." And
yeah.
It just moves everything there. But I didn't know what it was like at the time. Maybe it was similar. There was obviously an incentive to do it.
Well, at this point, it's Canada, I think. Because Canada gives you tax breaks and everything.
Is it Canada right now?
Yeah, Canada gives you tax breaks. I mean, most of us move to Canada. I mean, because it's like the time difference is – not as crazy as Korea or China.
Yeah.
You get you pay a little more than Korea or China, but you get tax breaks.
Yeah.
And they speak English.
Especially in Van.
Yeah.
Because I know Vancouver is really big on that. They're just, "Oh, you want to film a movie here? Here's a big tax break for you."
Yeah.
"You want to make cartoons here?" Apparently in Toronto, it's even bigger. Because...
Yeah, Toronto's huge too. But Toronto also has a big movie scene in general.
Yeah.
They have like film festivals and stuff in Toronto, I believe.
Canada just loves taking American entertainment industry. They love it.
So then they find the drill dozer and the turtles go to fight Shredder, Krang, and Bebop.
Yep.
Shredder, Rocky, and Bebop.
Rocky!
And they end up just running away down their little thing. down the little hole, and they
the finger
plugs the hole.
Finger plugs the hole.
That hand. There's one scene where the hand is like clearly like excessively drawn.
Yeah, somebody put way too much time.
Way too much time on it.
Yeah.
And the turtles go to remove the finger, but then they realize lava starts coming up because Krang shot lava back up through the finger.
that's what he does.
And it's like spraying everywhere, but it never hits anybody.
Of course not. It doesn't.
And then it just stops. But to the viewer, we think, oh, Shredder's gotten away with the crystal and everything. Shredder succeeded.
Yep.
But we learn in the biggest piece of exposition ever.
That's right.
That the crystal, because of the pressure of the Earth's core, the crystal will just explode.
That's right.
And what happens?
It explodes on Krang.
And Krang is like this wacky little, oh no, face, and then just fucking blows up on him. It's great.
And then when he gets mad, Shredder goes, oh, sue me!
Does he really?
Yeah, he does. He throws it right back at Krang, because Krang told him to sue him because he put the drill in the wrong place, the module, whatever it's called. And then when Krang gets mad at Shredder, he just says, well, sue me. Throws it right back at him.
And then we have the weirdest end gag of the series yet.
Yeah, it is weird.
Where they're back home in the turtle lair eating pizza, and they're talking to April, who's there, and they're talking about April's costumes. Mm-hmm. And April's like, don't worry, I'm still a fan of costumes or whatever. I'm actually going to a balls convention next weekend.
She wears a bald cap.
And she puts on a bald cap, and everyone gets shocked at her. And they say you should paint it green, then you could be a turtle, and they all laugh at her, and then she gets upset.
She doesn't want to be a turtle.
But she also, like... I don't understand the joke.
I think they just wanted to end. Well, because now she can pretend to be a turtle, because turtles, have bald heads and painted green.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't understand what's funny. What's funny about this?
Yeah, it's weird.
Because she looks pissed off at the end.
Well, I think the impression I get is they just have to make her look pissed off to end the episode on a joke.
Yeah.
But maybe you could take it from this perspective. Basically, 15 minutes ago they were kissing her butt.
Yeah.
Because of the way she looked. Now she doesn't look like that anymore, so they don't give a damn about
her.
She's
an uggo. She's a bald uggo.
And that means she doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. And that's the episode. What a good episode. What are you doing?
What it's like being a woman, by the way.
I'm doing so, baby! Don't interrupt! I'm not cutting that out, by the way. I'm not editing it out.
Anyway, that's the episode.
The episode is over.
What are you eating?
It's a pita chip.
Oh.
I'm King Cowabunga heading out.
Wait. So tune in next week where we will have a soundboard. And wacky sound effects.
We won't have a soundboard.
We're not going to have a soundboard.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, so that's the episode.
I'm King Cowabunga heading out.
And I'll beat the toss of gum.
See you next time. Take care.
Later.